want you to read with me, please, two scriptures. You'll find the first one in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Now John's Gospel, please. John's Gospel, chapter 5. And verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of his precious word. If you attended the meetings in the early stages of the meetings, perhaps you will remember that on a couple of nights we thought of the statement of Hebrews chapter 2, so great salvation. We thought that man requires this salvation. We thought that God planned it. We thought that the Old Testament scriptures picture for us this great salvation. And it was my exercise right throughout today. And I can see now I was guided aright, because my little message, I feel, will fit in with my brother's message. The Holy Spirit of God can do that. I want you to think tonight, dear friend, that Christ purchased this great salvation. I want you to think that the Holy Spirit presents this great salvation. I want you to think with me that believers possess it, and that the sinner has a threefold choice in relation to this great salvation. But I was particularly interested in that lovely verse in 1 Peter 2:24 concerning this great salvation. And my dear friend, it just fits in, I would believe, with my brother's message. I want you to think with me of the awful purchase price of this salvation that is yours and mine. I want you to think, first of all, with me, dear friend, of three scenes around Calvary. I want you to think of Gethsemane. I want you to think of Gabbatha, the pavement. I want you to think of Golgotha, where they crucified him. My dear friend, as we think of the awful purchase price of salvation, I want you to think, while Gethsemane was terrible, yet that was not the purchase price. You remember yonder in the garden, his disciples have gone to sleep, and the Lord Jesus, in awful mental anguish, it says, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Was the Lord Jesus afraid? And of course the answer immediately is no. It was for this cause that he came into the world. Then why those drops of sweat, blood-like in their sides? Why? Oh, my dear friend, he was looking forward to the awful hours when in the darkness he would bear your sin in his own body on the tree. The mental suffering was terrible. Matthew chapter 27 describes for us in detail the pavement, the physical sufferings of the Lord Jesus. And my dear friend, those physical sufferings are indescribable. And yet they are not the purchase price of your salvation and mine. Every known wound to medical science was inflicted on the precious body of the Lord Jesus between the pavement and Calvary. Every known wound. And I haven't time to go into the details here. But my dear friend, the Lord Jesus, I want you to see him yonder. He's standing with a robe of mockery upon him. They've wrapped a crown of thorns about his head. They've spat in his blessed face. Cut the beard from his cheek. They've lashed his precious back. Then upon him, outside on his way to Calvary, they lay the cross. And on that cross then, they pinion him. They nail him by the hands and by the feet. They drop that cross into its socket, and all his bones are jarred out of joint. And oh, my dear friend, we would say, surely that's enough. But no. All those physical sufferings together could not, my dear friend, pay your price of sin. There had to be something more than this. And I think of the words of Isaiah 53 as I see the Lord Jesus yonder on the cross, and as my brother has already described, the darkness falls. My dear friend, listen to the words of Scripture. Stricken. Smitten of God and afflicted. And the hymn writer has penned the words, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere we found the sheep that were lost. And yonder, my dear friend, in the darkness, who his own self bare my sin, in his own body on the tree. And in that darkness, that precious, blessed man, God's eternal.
eternal Son. The blood flowing from His precious body. He satisfied God in relation to your sin. But He was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, my dear friend, would you like to be saved tonight, would you? Then let me bring it closer to you. But He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The price of my peace was laid upon Him. In the darkness, He bore your sin and mine and His own body in the tree. But oh, tonight, thank God, the preacher can say, many believers in this company can say, with glorious confidence, while He was wounded for me, bruised for me, while the price of my peace was laid upon Him, thank God tonight, with His stripes, I am healed. Payment God will not twice demand. First, at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again mine. Who His own self bear my sin. My dear friend tonight, won't you grasp it? God has been speaking to you. You would love to be saved tonight. And in this company there's prayers arising to the throne of God now. Oh Lord, save him. Save him. Why don't you believe God? Friend, why don't you accept the sacrifice of Calvary? Who His own self bear my sin. And His own body on the tree. Thank God, God was satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. My friend, to such an extent that God raised him from among the dead. And tonight at God's right hand there sits a blessed man, and he bears Calvary's marks. Christ purchased this great salvation. He satisfied God on your account and mine. But in this gospel meeting tonight, and this again links with my brother's message, the Holy Spirit of God, dear friend, would present to you this great salvation. And since our meeting has commenced, the Holy Spirit of God has been at work. In relation to the Holy Spirit, I want you to think of three words, and I'll take a little time and develop them as the Lord would help. I want you to think of the promise. I want you to think of the persistence. I want you to think of the solemn possibility in relation to the Holy Spirit of God. What is the promise? You remember to the disciples in John 14, the Lord Jesus said, speaking of the Holy Spirit of God, He will teach you all things. He will lead you into all truth. He will bring all things to your remembrance. And young man, hasn't that been happening tonight? Hasn't it? Hasn't Christ's promise been fulfilled in relation to you tonight? Hasn't the Holy Spirit of God been at work? Hasn't He been convicting you of sin? Hasn't, my dear friend, the Holy Spirit of God been pointing out to you the dangers of missing salvation and being damned forever? Oh yes, the promise of the Holy Spirit has been fulfilled in your part.
But I want to come a little bit closer, and I want to think of the persistence of the Holy Spirit of God. Young man, let me plead with you tonight. Christ died for you.
He shed His precious blood at Calvary for you. And tonight the Holy Spirit of God again is tugging at your heartstrings. He's been speaking to you. He's been dealing with you. He's been shaking you to the very center of your being. And tonight, my friend, in this gospel meeting, the Holy Spirit of God is speaking again. Oh, take her! But He doesn't let you go. We do not bank that solemn truth on the words of Genesis 6 and 3 only. Because, my dear friend, in the New Testament, there was a man like Felix, and he trembled. And tonight Felix is in the flame. There was a man like Agrippa. And tonight Agrippa's in the flame. And I think of the divine commentary on Esau. You remember what happened to Esau? Esau sold the spiritual for the material, and he got his bowl of porridge, but he lost his soul. And there came the time when with bitter tears of repentance he wept, but it was too late. And my dear friend, I see a man like Judas that was so near salvation, but he let Christ go. And there's a poor Judas in hell.
But I want you to think with me for a moment of the persistence of the Holy Spirit.
And I want you to think of that lovely character in 1 Samuel chapter 3, young Samuel by name. And you read these words. Now, young man, you listen for your soul. Young lady, you listen, because your heaven and your hell could well depend on what you do with Jesus in this solemn meeting this evening. Now listen, I know you're listening. The Lord calls Samuel. the Lord called yet again Samuel. And the Lord called the third time Samuel. Would I be right in saying that the Lord has called you? My brother has already suggested that, and I'm not going to go over those varieties of ways in which he calls. My brother has mentioned them. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. Has he called the second time?
And the Lord called the third time Samuel.
But there came a final and a last time. And I want you to listen to the finality of these words. It says, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times.
But my dear friend, this time is different. It's the last call.
Came and he stood and he called, Samuel, Samuel. I'm going to quote a verse of scripture now, and it's in the fear of God that I quote it, because I believe it's for someone in this gospel meeting this evening. Because I have called, and you refuse. I have stretched out my hand, you didn't regard it. You set at naught all my counsel. You would none of my reproof. And my dear friend, at that stage, God takes over.
The line that my brother was talking about has been crossed. The sinner's opportunities are gone.
He says, I also will laugh at you, calamity. He says, I will mock when you are healed. And listen to what he says. He says, then shall they call on me? But I will not answer. They shall seek your life, but they shall not find me. Now look, there's someone in this company tonight, and you are fighting the Holy Spirit of God. You know as well as you're alive that you should be saved. You know that you should trust Christ as your Savior. You well know that the Lord Jesus could come. You well know that death is maybe round the corner. You well know that the Holy Spirit could cease to strive. Still you're fighting. Not you. It's the Holy Spirit of God, young man.
While he strives, Satan is at work.
And he's doing his utmost to get you past this point. Because he knows that if he gets you past this point, the rest is going to be easy. God. God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking now. You know, sometimes the preacher and the platforms are great, and this is one of the occasions. Because, my dear friend, it's a solemn thing when God speaks. The Holy Spirit presents now this great salvation. I haven't time to deal with John 5:24. Believers possess it. Thank God you could possess it tonight. If you were but simple enough to acknowledge yourself as a poor sinner, trust Christ as your Savior. You have a threefold choice in relation to this great salvation. You can refuse it like Judas and be damned. You can neglect it, like Felix, like many others in the New Testament and the Old. But tonight you can be like the jailer and accept this great salvation. Jesus now is bending over thee. Jesus, lowly, meek and mild, to the friend who died to save you. Will you not be reconciled? Young man, young lady, Christ died and he died for you. The Holy Spirit of God is pleading tonight and he's pleading with you. Don't close your ears. It may be the last time you'll ever hear the call. Oh, may God grant that ere you sleep tonight, you too will be in possession of this great salvation. If you feel we could help you, don't be ashamed. Your soul's at stake. My dear friend, are you asleep tonight? Get this matter settled. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come now at the close of this solemn gospel meeting. And O Lord, we believe that dear unsaved ones have heard thy voice tonight. They have realized the urgency of salvation, the awful, solemn possibility that the Holy Spirit of God may cease to strive. And our Father, we pray tonight that there may be that young man, that young lady, maybe that older friend. Thou hast been speaking to them. Thou hast been shaking them to the very center of their being. O God, tonight we pray that there may be some who will be wise and receive the Lord Jesus as their own Savior, and on the authority of thy word they know that they have everlasting life. This we ask, Father, in the Savior's worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.